Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, and this is episode 38 of the Living with Freedom Show. I'm Amber S., bringing you a vision of what living a life of freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect of life. This show is brought to you by Living with Freedom Ministries, an unincorporated private church and ministry where I help people discover and fulfill their God-given purpose, specifically through the creation of their own private ministry. I'm going to invite you, just like I have been, share this show with at least one friend by copying the show link and sharing it on social media or any platform that you like, or just grabbing the website, freedomizerradio.com. /listen-live. But if you just go to the Freedomizer website, there's a listen live button. So we're just going to jump right in. Today is going to be a little bit of a smorgasbord of things. Admittedly, it's because I wasn't able to compile my show notes into a cohesive message. I had so much I wanted to share today, and not enough time to pull it all together. So we're going to be hopping around. It might feel a little bit disjointed, but hopefully that makes it just feel more personal and relevant, because sometimes conversation goes back and forth from one conversation to the next. So anyways, that's kind of the flow of the day. I want to start with the word of the day just because it made me giggle a little bit. So the word of the day is brought to you by Bouvier's Common Law Dictionary. I'm using the 1856 edition, and we're still in the letter A. So today's word is acre. Yeah, like an acre of land. I partly chose this because, admittedly, yes, I'm from a small town. I had lots of friends, with farms, and I have worked toward buying property myself at one point, and I still cannot envision what an acre actually looks like. But math was never my strong suit, so maybe that's why. Anyways, Bouvier's Law Dictionary says that an acre measures, of course, obviously, we know that. It also says a quantity of land containing in length 40 perches. Yeah, perches like the fish is how it's spelled. So we're going to dig into that one. In length, 40 perches and 4 in breadth. Or 160 square perches of whatever shape may be the land. I had to giggle because what the heck is a perch besides a fish? Because I'm pretty sure they're not measuring by the length of a fish. I mean, maybe. I kind of doubt it, though. So I wanted to search. Oh, shoot. Let me copy the right text here. All right. I wanted to search length 40 perches and see what the web browser, the interwebs, said for what the heck a perch was. Because how can that be helpful if, for measuring an acre, if I don't know what measuring with a perch is? All right, so Wikipedia says that the rod, perch, or pole, sometimes also lug, is a surveyor's tool. All right, so a perch is, or one rod, also called a perch, in U.S. units is 16 and a half feet. Oh, they're making me math today, you guys. So 16.5 times 40, 660 feet. Yep. Now, some people try to describe it in terms of like football fields. So we have feet. We're going to divide by three to get yards, 220 yards. So that's what, almost 2.5 football fields? No, a little over two. I don't even know because I don't like football, so I don't follow that either, y'all. Why is it so difficult to measure or explain what the heck an acre is? Why do we still use this measurement? It just makes me giggle. Anyways, so that's the word of the day. I only shared it for purely entertainment purposes because that's all I got for today on the word. Let's go back. Where is my notebook? Here we go. I really liked today's holiday of the day, though. Today's holiday is National Take a Chance Day. And I love it because I'm all about, you know, Miss Frizzle, like taking chances, making mistakes. It's definitely a philosophy, you know, one can strive for. I also know that practically it can be really hard to actually implement because most of us grew up with a voice in our head that kind of, you know, shut us down and kept us quiet and all that kind of stuff. I wish I had thought to save a post I had seen yesterday. I don't even know where I saw it, but it was all about kind of calling out the people who ever, you know, the people who are the reason someone no longer dances or the reason someone no longer talks about their dreams. And it really being an opportunity for self-reflection. And I love that too. Like, let's never be the reason somebody doesn't take a chance. Let's never be the reason our kids stop dancing, stop pursuing their dreams. Because it takes all kinds to make the world go round. Because, for instance, maybe you don't think, because this is a personal belief of mine that I struggle with, I don't think people should get paid to play a game, to play a sport. Especially not like millions of dollars. Shoot me now. It's okay. I won't be offended if you disagree with me. But it's just a personally held belief of mine. But if I happen to find that my son is really, really good at soccer, baseball, oh, heaven forbid football. Please, Lord, please not be football. I'm not really going to talk him out of it. What I will do is make sure that he is wise about it and has something for backup for when he's done with football, since you can only play for so many years, like your golden years in terms of your health, right? Your peak years. I want to teach him the importance of thinking about how we serve the world. So anyways, back to the idea of Take a Chance Day. I've also done enough personal and professional development to realize that the old adage of like, get out of your comfort zone is total and utter baloney. And here's why. One of my mentors and really good friend, Stacey Hall, she is a best-selling author. She's an amazing coach and mentor. She's put together many courses and so much more. She reminded me that our comfort zone is where our values are. So when someone tells you to get out of your comfort zone, isn't it really just saying your values aren't more important than putting yourself out there and potentially risking everything because you didn't stick to your values? When I realized this, it almost felt offensive to me when people said, get out of your comfort zone, because it's our barrier. It's our shield. It's what protects us from things that we are not in alignment with. That's why the comfort zone exists. And that's why for so much of my life, For so much of my life, I took great pride in saying I had no personal bubble. no, oh, what's the word? Like, I'm willing to talk about pretty much anything and everything. I used to take great pride in that. And there is a sense of honor in openness and transparency. But there's also honor in protecting integrity and keeping one's word and also being wise with who we share what with. So when I started to recognize that having a comfort zone, that having values, that having boundaries was not only okay, but good, it flipped the switch for me. Something else that Stacy mentions is often we sit in like firmly in the center of our comfort zone, looking out at the edges, sometimes with fear. What if we explored those boundaries? What if we explored the edges of our comfort zone? Not getting out of our comfort zone, but exploring what those edges really are. Our children, if you're a parent, you know children test boundaries. But as adults, why do we not still check our boundaries? Like, yes, it's good to know what the boundaries are, but it's also good to know the limits of those boundaries. Now, when I'm talking about things like infidelity, relationships, like there is a clear line and it's okay to not go anywhere stinking near that line to risk reputation, to risk temptation. But when I'm talking about meeting new people, trying new things, new hobbies, new careers, new purpose and passion in life, travel, trying new foods, I don't know, just pretty much anything except things that are inherently not good. Why don't we explore those boundaries? Because sometimes, and Stacy says this, I'm going to repeat it. Sometimes when we explore the boundaries of our comfort zone, we realize that those boundaries are actually a little bit bigger than we used to think. And that's a good thing, because that's how we then expand our comfort zone to include more things. For instance, maybe you used to think that you hated and were not good at public speaking, but maybe your only exposure to it was a really embarrassing debate speech in junior high. And you had to go up against the valedictorian, right? And she killed it. She dominated and left you feeling a bit embarrassed. If that's like your only main exposure to public speaking, yeah, that's gonna throw off your confidence. But maybe, just maybe, at a gathering with some friends, you decide to do a toast. Just a quick toast or a quick prayer if your group is a praying type of group. Being like, hey, can I pray over this gathering, or can I pray over the meal? Can it make it simple? It doesn't have to be ornate. It doesn't have to be this big, long ordeal. But explore little opportunities to speak to more than just your family at a time. The reason I bring this up is prior to college, I mean, I liked theater class. I didn't think I actually liked just speaking in front of others. And yes, theater helped, absolutely, because I could kind of put on this character. I didn't have to risk putting myself out there. I was risking my acting ability, maybe, but I was more risking the character I was portraying. And then in college, I kind of warmed up a little bit more. Like, I wanted to be good at public speaking and speaking in front of the class, but it just wasn't there yet. And I think part of it had to do with my passion and interest in the topic. Because I'm sure, just like most college students, we weren't the best at studying we probably threw that presentation together right before the deadline, which also meant we didn't rehearse it like we should have. Just like I didn't rehearse today's show because I didn't have my notes together. But I've gotten to the point after all these years, especially after I started doing network marketing, doing Facebook Lives, teaching English as a second language, talking to strangers all day. Little but safe exposures to speaking opportunities that expanded my confidence and my comfort zone by extension. And now I've spoken to groups of 30 to 300 people, maybe more, but I wasn't counting. And yeah, sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking, mostly with the technology, like if I have to use a microphone. That's one thing that I'm still a little self-conscious of, is hearing my own voice, especially if there's like a delay or an echo with the monitor. I still struggle listening to myself as I'm speaking. I can go back and listen to a recording, no problem. But when it comes to, you know, using that kind of speech technology, I would prefer to have my own monitor turned off or extremely low so that I don't really even have to hear it. So that's one way that we can expand our comfort zone. I'm going to challenge you guys. What is one thing, and obviously we're on the radio show, so you don't have to share with me. If you want to share on Facebook or Rumble, I'm not really on Instagram or X, aka Twitter. But if you want to share like on Facebook or even via email with me, what's one thing that you might be a little scared to try that feels like it's currently outside your comfort zone? And what's one thing that you can do to start to explore the boundaries of your comfort zone toward that interest or toward that goal that can at least bring you closer to it? Maybe not fully achieving it yet, but what's something that could take you out of the middle of your comfort zone exploring the boundaries? And this is something that I'd like to help coach with too. Like I want to, through my ministry, as a minister of my ministry, all of these kinds of things I would love to be able to help with if someone is struggling and needs some of that personal, professional, or spiritual development. Like I want to be of service. I want to be able to help. I would be happy to have a consult or even just do some kind of coaching program. So if you want some support in exploring what that looks like, what expanding your comfort zone looks like, what taking a chance feels like, shoot me an email. I am more than happy to hop on a call with you and let's co-create something for you that's custom fit for your needs. My email through the ministry is livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. Or you can email me directly, amber@livingwithfreedom.org. The other thing I wanted to share specifically, I would say kind of tied to this topic of Take a Chance Day, is this excerpt from the Founders Bible about Patrick Henry. The reason I think it's relevant is him, along with, or I should say he, along with most of the founding fathers, took a real chance, stepping out in boldness, in accordance with their faith, to establish this new nation, to declare our independence. So his entire life, at least adult life, was primarily about taking a chance. He is one of the most iconic patriots that we ever learn about. And he's actually one of the more popular ones. And yet, I didn't know most of what I read in this. I mean, I knew it because of what I do now, but reflecting based on what I learned in social studies or, you know, history class, I didn't know any of this. So Patrick Henry, 1736 to 1799. Educated at home, as were many other founding fathers, he became one of the most successful lawyers in Virginia, being elected to the state legislature and the First Continental Congress. On March 23, 1775, he delivered his famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech at St. John's Church in Richmond. After independence was declared, he became the first governor of Virginia and was reelected a number of times. His opposition to the ratification of the U.S. Constitution, because of its lack of protection for the individual and for states against federal intrusion, was key in securing the addition of a federal Bill of Rights. Considered one of America's greatest orators, he learned that skill as a young man by listening to the sermons of the Reverend Samuel Davies, considered America's greatest pulpit preacher. Henry was an active and outspoken Christian, urging the inclusion of Christian principles throughout public policy. So not only did he take a chance, but I'm going to shift focus just a tiny bit on our path through the show today and reiterate what I shared in that last sentence. Henry was an active and outspoken Christian, urging the inclusion of Christian principles throughout public policy. Now, if you're a longtime listener, especially early on, you heard me be very adamant that the original intent of the First Amendment was not actually separation of church and state the way we see it today. It was not to remove church from state. It was exclusively to remove state from church. It was not mutually agreeable. It wasn't like a back and forth thing, because they wanted to be able to make sure that government was protecting their religious liberties. That was a huge reason why they wanted their independence. They wanted protection of religion, not freedom from religion. So people in office, in any office, absolutely can profess their faith. What they cannot do is force their faith on others. And there is a difference between upholding Christian values or principles. Because if we look at the core basics of Christian values, pretty much every belief system out there has the majority of the core beliefs. Don't kill, don't cheat, don't steal, right? Some of these core basic values, every religious system. And yet, pretty much all of our founding fathers believed in God in some sake, form, or fashion, and believed that those morals that came with their faith were integral parts of building the principles of law in our country. So yes, you can and probably should be a Christian or a person of faith who runs for office. Just because we're a Christian or a person of faith does not mean we should be hiding from civics, hiding from the political world. If we're to be good stewards and good kingdom citizens, I believe it actually means we are called to step up. If you look at most of the main leaders throughout the Bible, virtually every single one had some involvement in local or state or federal government at the time, in whatever form that looked like. Even Jesus was born human to be king. So as a person of faith, we're actually to be building kingdom. We're delegates of kingdom government or of you know, God's government, Jesus's government, right? How can we do that if we're not willing to run for offices, if we're not willing to keep God involved? That's how we got to where we're at, because of some really dumb court orders and court opinions that started to dictate separation of church and state when that was never the original intent. All right, so we talked about the word of the day. We talked about the holiday of the day. And we talked about Patrick Henry. We're going to pause for a break here quick, and then when we come back, we are going to keep on with these thoughts, with these intentions, and kind of see where it goes, see what time permits us to have. Like I said, there's a lot of different things I want to share, and we'll see how they all, you know, piece together in this puzzle. All right, we'll be right back.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you love the outdoors? Do you want to help make a difference for the planet? Then get involved in Collectively Rewilding. Collectively Rewilding is a movement to restore degraded ecosystems and reinvigorate sustainable traditions almost lost by working together. It's based on the idea that we can achieve more by working together than we can by working alone. Sharing the skill sets we have built over the years with each other and providing the community support we all need when there is so much work to be done in finding a sustainable future. To join our community here in Collectively Rewilding, go to www.collectivelyrewilding.com. Let's bring nature back into our lives in a community built for the wild in all of us.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Diana from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Russ and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our shows. See you then.
You know what I think we should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite.
You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah, Cross. Yeah, Mariah.
We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
And we are back. All right. I think the next logical place that I want to take this is I've decided that I want to share that Sovereign Duty, like, book study with you guys. The first thing I wanted to share was a little bit about the book. So Chrisanne Hall put this book together really as a teaching tool to help us not only learn that we have rights, but what our sovereign duty is to uphold and defend those rights and liberties. Because we know that freedom isn't free, so what do we need to do to protect it? I often still ask myself this question. And so even though I love and adamantly support everything Chrisanne Hall has put out there, I still had not read her Sovereign Duty book, which was like her first book, if I remember right. So that was another reason I wanted to start this book study. And for those who wanted to get started with me, week one was going to be reading the dedication, acknowledgments, forward, including Liberty's Whisper poem by Judy Thacker, and then the introduction. Because I did a web search and I did not see the Liberty's Whisper poem anywhere else, it might be exclusively here in this book. The main concept of it, though, is recognizing how every movement, you guys, everything of importance starts really with a whisper. It starts with the ever so slightest breeze and then starts to build and build and build. Chrisanne Hall mentioned some statistic about every major movement in the world made an impact or made a change based on only 3% getting involved and taking action. 3% of the population, you guys, is not very much. And just like the freedom movement of our country's founding, it really all can be traced back to one person. He was dealing with collecting taxes, like he was a tax collector, basically, with the British. And he realized it was not right. And eventually there became this warrant on his head where it was basically like shoot upon sight. And yet he showed up to give 6 hours of speeches at a court hearing explaining why this was wrong. And the people in attendance in that room went on to be the founding fathers that we know, the Adamses, and more. So he really was what some call it is the midwife of liberty. And it's frustrating me that I can't remember his name. Anyways, we can go back to many things throughout history. Moses, Jesus, Martin Luther King Jr. Now, some of these names that we've mentioned could be debatable. For instance, did the Liberty Movement of the 1700s really truly take a start because of him, or was it being fed from people 100 years before that? A combination, right? But it really seemed to be a catalyst moment when one person stood up. Just like the Civil Rights Movement. Yes, there were a lot of names involved with that. And yet, the catalyst moment, it seemed, was Martin Luther King Jr. So knowing that liberty's movement starts with a whisper, and then it grows into a breeze, and then a strong wind, and then really a hurricane. And that's not to say being violent, not just saying being a force to be reckoned with. That means all of us taking back our rights and our liberties, standing on those truths, taking back our rights and saying, no, you do not have jurisdiction anymore. So if you've gotten the Sovereign Duty book, go ahead and get through the foreword, the Liberty's Whisper poem, and the introduction, because this really sets up the framework and foundation for the coming weeks. Some highlights that I want to point out, she does an amazing job quoting the Founding Fathers directly. But here's something that she said. Pure freedom is man doing whatever is right in his own mind, regardless of what it does to others. Cheat, lie, steal, murder. Pure freedom is chaos. At the same time, liberty cannot survive with moral law alone. Moral law not mingled with freedom is theocracy. So liberty has to have freedom, and it also has to have morality. These two really are the core balance of justice, freedom and morality, if we really boil things down to it. Because if we have too much freedom, other people, like certain people's freedoms will get trampled on. But if we have too much morality, everyone's freedom gets trampled on. So they have to be kept in check to make sure that everyone gets to exercise their freedoms as far as it extends to impacting someone else's freedom. And that is where the morality comes in. That nobody has the authority to impact another's rights and liberties. Another thing she mentioned was that the Founding Fathers had really this sense of something, of being part of something bigger than themselves. And it's only when, and here's what she said, quote, when man begins to amass almost godlike, unchecked power, that all sense of moral restraint is tossed aside. How often do we see that in politics, in Hollywood, really in anything you see on TV? The core basis of it is that man, some man, not every man, but a certain man or woman, so man isn't humankind, right? When a person, being a man or woman, begins to amass or gain this godlike complex. Unfortunately, we see that a lot in politics and medicine. So much so that some of us have experienced doctors who try to mock us for having that Google degree, really saying that, like, who are you to know anything about your health and wellness because you looked it up on Google, right? Now, I don't look things up on Google anymore. I don't like them. But the point still stands that there are doctors out there who think so highly of their precious white coat and their piece of paper saying that they can practice medicine in the public, that they have such a godlike complex or God complex they don't think anyone else can know about how to heal their own bodies without that white coat, without that piece of paper. And what they don't realize is they've been fed a very specific curriculum with a specific intention to only band-aid symptoms and not treat root causes, and to have a permission slip from the government to be allowed to do it. So when these doctors have this God complex, I really try my best to take it with a grain of salt, because I realize most often it's not their fault that they were taught that way. And yet, when we are confronted with new information, we do have the obligation to study it, to understand it, and then to make a decision if it rings true for us or not. Sometimes truth with a capital T, we don't have the choice of deciding if it's true for us or not. But with something like medicine, some people don't go to modern doctors at all for anything. And I would argue there's one thing that they're pretty good at, and that's emergency medicine. If you are profusely bleeding from a wound, if you have a bone sticking out of your body, if you have a foreign object in your body that should not be in your body, like, these things are emergencies, and they're really good at those things. The second it no longer becomes emergency, get out of there, because that's where the line is crossed between them acting ethically to do no harm and wanting to pad their pockets. And again, often it's their training. Often they go to medical school to actually want to help people. And it's through the indoctrination of medical school where they get this complex. Another note that I highlighted that she said, words not working. Rewind that. She said, quote, "We need to learn anew that we have an exceptional nation where, quote, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights," end quote. A nation birthed by the principle that the power of the government is to be held by the people and not where the government holds power over the people. A nation that believes that the principle that says all are free to worship according to the dictates of their conscience and all are equally free, quote, Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians, end quote. A nation that has prospered based on the principle that ideas and hard work open the door to prosperity regardless of bloodline, skin color, or social status. A nation that has remained free because the citizens maintain the right to defend self, property, and liberty. So at the beginning of that chunk right there, she said, we need to learn anew. We need to relearn this, you guys. And that's why as a PMA advisor, when I share my webinar that I recorded, and I'm talking about the disadvantages versus the advantages of establishing a PMA or a ministry, I say it tongue-in-cheek because the disadvantages all revolve around the work it takes to unlearn what we thought we knew to relearn truth that we should have known all along. Not only does that take effort, but it takes questioning what we knew as truth. And that is not for the faint of heart. There will be times where you question something, both whether you question what you knew to be true in a skeptical way or what you question when you question the new information, asking how can this be true. There will be times it is difficult to accept and embrace. But it's an important job and it's an important task to take on. If not for us, for posterity's purpose, for future generations. The last note I want to make from the highlighted parts that she said here. Okay, she was talking about how, or I should say why America is an exceptional nation. And really that our founding documents contained principles, or I should say, quote, principles of liberty, freedom, morality, and equality as derived from our Creator. And those principles are still worth fighting for, end quote. So I think that's beautiful. I think this really sets the framework and the foundation for the rest of the book. If you're interested in discussing this or reading and sharing your own thoughts and insights, I mean, this isn't a formal book study. It's not like you signed up for it. It's not like I'm paying or I'm having you pay for a workbook or anything like that, because this isn't my material. I would definitely invite you, though, to check it out and share your insights on social media. Share your insights with your network. Because we need truth with a capital P being shared. And it's okay if not everyone understands why you're doing it. They can choose to keep scrolling, or they can choose to unfriend if they really must, or at least unfollow. But the more we can plant these seeds, the more we can quickly move back to restoring the rights that we were supposed to have all along. So that's kind of our book study. And that's kind of what I want to do going forward. There might be times where I ask more of an engagement type question, like, how can you see applying XYZ, or what can you do today or this week about ABC? So, yeah, just that's how it's going to go. The next thing I wanted to share with you before the break, I think, is this week I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge you to pray and meditate on, and I believe Christians can meditate, because I believe meditation is simply listening to receive. Prayer is when we ask. Meditation is not a religion. It's not part of any particular religion. It's what you do to listen to get answers. And as a Christian, as a believer in God and the Bible, I'm listening to God. That's what I'm listening for and to. So I want you guys to think about praying and meditating on the question, how can I open myself up to the changes I'm seeking? So maybe on this Take a Chance Day, we take a chance and explore quitting a bad habit, starting a new good habit. Maybe we realize we've been irresponsible with our finances and that we haven't been tithing or giving first fruits. And yet we've felt called to do it, but we haven't actually like just been intentional about it. Maybe we've been saying yes to the wrong things and not holding our boundaries. Could be any number of things, but I want to share what came up when I, on Saturday, was meditating on this idea of opening myself up to the change I'm seeking. Knowing I have some speaking engagements coming up, I think was one of the primary reasons that this first point came up, was humility. The things that I know aren't about me, I want to be a mirror and a reflection of what truth is. I don't ever want it to be the Amber Show. In whatever I do, whether it's public speaking, whether it's sending out an email newsletter or my advising or my coaching, my ministry work, I don't want it to be the Amber Show. And it's okay to keep the things that I do to help others private. You know, what the left hand does, you know, don't let the right hand know what the left hand does kind of thing. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing that verse. Responsibility. Being responsible came up. Whether it's with finances, making sure it's something I actually need versus something that I could use, but I don't need it or don't need it right now. Focusing on paying debts first kind of stuff, you know, that sort of thing. Car maintenance, being responsible with car maintenance. Being responsible with what I have first. Those kinds of things. Boundaries was the second one that came up, though. Both setting boundaries and keeping them. And sometimes those boundaries mean having a difficult or uncomfortable conversation with someone. For me, part of it was setting a schedule and sticking to it and honoring my time. Because you guys, did you know? Did you know that if you honor your time as valuable, other people are going to start respecting your time too? It's seriously pretty impressive. When you start to schedule X amount of time for X type of thing, and you, let's say you schedule 1 hour after school or 1 hour after dinner, whatever, to dedicate spending time with your kids. No phones, no TV, no answering the door. Well, maybe answer the door, I guess, but no distractions, no work emails. You and your kid or kids spending quality time together. You could be helping them with homework, I guess, and that would still count because you are spending quality time together. But being intentional about it. Another thing, especially for millennials and younger, is not being attached to the gosh dang phone. I know in previous episodes I've mentioned doing like a technology detox. Knowing that so many of us do use technology for work, it becomes increasingly more difficult and is even more reason to be more intentional about how we're using it, when we're using it. Something I did a few weeks ago, I literally used, I have a Samsung phone, and if you go into the settings and you scroll down, there's this section called Digital Well-Being and Parental Controls. In there, you can literally set a timer to only use certain apps for so much time. So I set Facebook, because I do marketing on Facebook too and networking, I set Facebook 2 hours. I can always go in and change it. I can always add time. But 2 hours on my phone is my limit for Facebook time. And in that time, I need to be doing my posts, responding to messages, responding to comments, engaging, creating content. And in that time, I can also have some fun too. Because the Facebook algorithms, if you engage with others, they will also boost you so others and can engage back with you. If you never engage with others on Facebook, they're not going to boost you as much as if you're engaging with others in a meaningful way too. And it's not just seeing on someone's post saying, cool or awesome. It's like, man, that's an amazing idea or something that's meaningful, right? Even if it's not something we want to do, or even if it's not something we have the time to do, acknowledging that, like, hey, I see what you're doing over there, and that's pretty dang cool. That's all it takes. Back to the boundaries and scheduling thing. Even if you have to post it on post-it notes around your house, fine, or going on Canva and making a phone background, like a phone wallpaper, make sure that you start to remind yourself to honor your time so that others honor it too. Make sure if you have a family to set aside specific time scheduled for family time. If you're wanting to do fitness or do meal planning or meal prepping, like, it actually has to get in your calendar, your planner, to actually do it. So that's the one thing I wanted to share about boundaries, is if you schedule it, you're more likely to do it. The last main thing that I had discovered or explored about opening myself up to the changes I'm seeking is integrity. Watching my tongue, meaning everything I say needs to be in alignment with my highest purpose, with my God-given purpose. When it comes to purpose, you guys, and intentions, we're never off duty. So we need to make sure that everything we do in life is in alignment with our higher purpose. Otherwise, we're hypocrites. And if someone catches us being a hypocrite, well, because people work with people they know, like, and trust, if they find out you're a hypocrite, you've lost their trust. So watching our tongue, or watching the things that we do, it also means keeping an eye out for the snakes in the grass. Not everyone we come across is going to be trustworthy. Yes, we can give them a chance. And we can still protect ourselves. It also means keeping my word. Integrity means keeping my word. If I say I'm going to do something by a certain time, I darn well better get it done by that time. It better get done. And if not, I better have a really good stinking excuse why. Because I realize I have been slipping. Part of it is due to stress, anxiety, and PTSD. And I recognize I have ample tools and resources to heal from that stuff. I don't need to let it be an excuse anymore. What I can do is make sure that if I'm not able to keep my word and it's becoming consistent, why? Am I setting unrealistic expectations for myself? If so, I need to pivot. If I'm burning myself out, I need to pivot. If I'm losing my mind because I have 27 irons in the fire, when if I had given myself a little extra time, I could have gotten X done first, and then put all my focus on why instead of splitting my time. And I will admit, you guys, especially with this ADHD, PTSD, anxiety thing that I've got, that I'm healing from, it is a challenge to prioritize. And that's why when I did this prayer and meditation on Saturday, it was really helpful. Because it helped me hone in and focus on the key components of my day and what I value. For instance, before 6:30 a.m., it's prayer, reading my Bible, and meditation time. No questions about it. And it's a struggle because I still use my phone as my alarm clock because I like being able to set my sleep sound. And I'm also a fan of having custom alarms that are more peaceful than other alarms. So it's really easy for me to end up Facebook before I start to do my reading or my prayer time. With that digital well-being program in the phone, I think there's even a thing where you can set it into sleep mode also. So within certain hours, it won't let you open Facebook. It won't let you open YouTube, Instagram, whatever. If you need those functions to hold yourself accountable, go ahead and do it. It's okay. These tools are set up to help us stay accountable. I also have dedicated time now for me time, like to shower, to brush my teeth, to brush my hair, to get dressed, to have breakfast, get my kiddo to school. And then between two times is my dedicated ministry time. Then they have a dedicated dinner time, a dedicated time for bedtime for my kiddo, and study time and bedtime for myself. I also have movement built in there, but this is how I maintain humility. This is how I keep boundaries. This is how I stay responsible. And this is how I keep integrity, is honoring my time. So this one thing can hit all four of these if I let it. Keeping my time is hitting, you know, multiple birds with one stone. And that's the beautiful thing here with this exercise, is often we can find things that we can shift, expand, grow and develop that address more than one thing. When we get back, we're going to wrap all of this up and see how to apply it to our week. All right, be right back, guys.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as pantheonism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalist, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on FreedomizerRadio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
When taking back your rights, don't leave the biggest part in the hands of someone who isn't even going to fight for you and your rights. How to win in court without a lawyer does just that. Dr. Graves teaches you what he's learned over his many years as a lawyer so you can protect and defend your rights yourself. Visit howtowinincourt.com?refer code equals SH0024. Refer code equals sign S as in Sam, H as in Henry, 0024. Alavea is all about providing hope with breakthrough nutritional technologies. Personally, I am seriously in love with their Focus Plus Orange Fusion stick packs, their Limitless capsules, and their Fix stick packs. This trio gives my body support in properly handling inflammation, immune function, metabolic function, and of course, which this mama obviously needs, focus. Visit livingwithfreedom.myalovea.com. Alovea is A-L-O-V-E-A. livingwithfreedom.myalovea.com. Through Living with Freedom Ministries, I love helping people discover and fulfill their God-given purpose through establishing their own private member association or ministry. If you're interested in doing either of those things, if you are curious if you are able to, if you have a purpose in life and you want to share that with your community, with your tribe, visit go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA to get an introduction to PMAs, my full PMA webinar, as well as access to schedule a free consult with me to discover and fulfill like your purpose and what PMA can do for you. All right, we are starting to wrap up. Has anyone else felt like the last few months have just kind of been a fustercluck, like all over the place? Or is it just me? Actually, I know it's not just me because I've talked with a few people personally who have also experienced that kind of that feeling. That's why, you guys, I love personal and professional development, why I love groups and ministry. And not just Christian ministry. It can be ministry and just co-creating together what solutions exist for certain things, right? Ministry is just serving others according to your firmly and strongly held belief, your faith. One thing that I was exploring this week is this women's circle I'm a part of. And the first 3 weeks of the month, we have different, like, types of calls. And this week we largely were kind of doing some visioning, prayer, meditation kind of stuff. Some of the women in the group believe in God, some believe in more universe, but I appreciate that we all can come together and have a collaborative and collective intention, and we all can come at it from our own unique faith structure. So the main thing I was exploring was, and I guess we as a collective, we were really exploring how do we move forward with wanting to honor part of our story, but we no longer want to make it part of our identity. Like, we know and recognize and respect that everything we go through makes us who we are, right? And in the same breath, I don't present myself as a domestic violence or domestic abuse survivor. There was a period in my life where that was part of, like, a core part of my identity, and it still is. And yet, I don't feel the need to have to bring it up. It's not part of my purpose for doing what I do in this stage of my life. And so collectively, we were just exploring how we can let go of certain past traumas in just presenting ourselves in our current existence, I guess is a good way to put it. And one of the things I was doing was kind of questioning what I'm doing, if I'm doing something different or, quote, wrong, that I'm struggling with some stuff. And what I came up with was take the pressure off. I already know what to do. Stop overthinking it. And that it's okay to choose to come at things with joy. The overthinking, especially in the female brain, but of course for anyone, men or women, overthinking can be a very serious and very big issue, big challenge. So how do we overcome overthinking? One of the best ways, besides obviously prayer and faith, is recognizing that I can only do what I can with what I have. So sometimes I cannot complete something yet. Even though I know there's a deadline coming up, in this moment, if I'm supposed to be working on something, sometimes I can only accomplish a portion of it, and then I have to set it back down. And yeah, that can be really frustrating. And there was a time where I felt like my notes, my to-do list, was where things went to die. I don't know why exactly, why that became a thing for me, but it did. Now what I've come to realize is my to-do list, my notebook, my journal, is where things go to pause, to rest, to wait until the timing is back around for it to come back. There are times with my massive pile of interests where sometimes I have to just get out the curiosity. I have to just research down the rabbit hole of a certain pharmaceutical package insert. And I just have to go read it just to satisfy the curiosity. Sometimes I just have to go make some marketing graphics or some educational graphics just to get out that fix, you know, that itch, that urge. And sometimes I'm not really meant to do anything with it. Other times I'm meant to get started and then put it away for now. To get the idea out far enough that when the time is right, whether it's in collaboration with someone else or not, I can come back to it. Have you ever felt like you were supposed to be doing something but didn't feel like the time was right, and then all of a sudden God wakes you up at like 3 in the morning with all of the ideas flowing, all of the inspiration, all of a sudden just mysteriously there. Boom, it's all right there. All you got to do is like write it out or just go do the thing. I have, and you know what? That's not a coincidence. I call it a synchronicity. I call it divine timing, because when we're in alignment with our purpose, and this goes along back to this whole idea of taking chances and, you know, expanding our comfort zone. When we are so in alignment with our purpose, sometimes we get stretched to the limits or even outside of what we thought our current comfort zone was, because it's part of our calling and we need to be pushed in that direction. But we can't do that, and we can't answer the calling unless we're even listening for the calling. For instance, if you have your phone on Do Not Disturb, you're obviously not in a situation where you can be open to receiving a call. Have your spiritual and your mental emotional ringer on max volume and practice it. If you have a morning reading time set aside, instead of reading just the bare minimum tomorrow or tonight, if you read in the evening, maybe explore if you're meant to read more or less than that today. Obviously, if you have obligations like getting the kids to bed or whatever, like, yeah, obviously don't neglect your kids and read for 3 hours if their bedtime is at like 7 or whatever. But another idea is maybe this evening, maybe tomorrow morning, you're not supposed to keep reading the next section, cover to cover wise. Maybe you're just supposed to flip to a random page if you're reading like scripture of some kind, and just flip to a random page and see what message it has for you. Maybe. But it's really interesting when we start to just stay open to those synchronicities and those random messages, that suddenly we start to see messages everywhere. We start to see, as again, my mentor mentions, in a lot of her writings, the lighthouse, you know, the signs of hope. But we have to start training ourselves to be accustomed to seeing it and recognizing it. With the last few minutes, I feel like there was one other thing I wanted to share about that. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. Oh, okay. Yes. In the last few minutes, I wanted to address the idea of being intolerant. This is not my idea. I don't remember the name of the woman who has sort of, I don't want to say capitalized, but maximized this concept. In a world that pushes ultimate tolerance, really in, what's the word? Oh, I can't remember the word. So I'm going to reword it. In a world where we are being fed this idea of tolerance at the expense, that's what I want to say, at the expense of our own values, let's start becoming intolerant again. Not in a discriminatory kind of way, but becoming intolerant to BS, to baloney, our own baloney, to others' baloney, to systematic baloney. When you know something is baloney, it's okay to not be tolerant to it. You don't have to take it. And that's where we as a society have gone so wrong in upholding and defending our rights, because we got in the mindset that if it didn't affect me, I shouldn't have to do anything about it. Oh, I don't own a pew-pew machine, so challenges to the Second Amendment don't impact me. I don't have to do anything about it. Yeah, I think we deserve to have our Second Amendment rights, but because I don't have one, and I don't use one, it doesn't affect me. I'm not going to do squat about it. That's the absolute wrong thinking, and that is where we've gone wrong in this country. It's lazy. We need to care, you guys. We need to care about others' rights, even if we don't agree with them. As long as we have a way out to not have their own rights shoved down our throat, we need to defend their rights. Now, when I say that, you have a right to change the channel, to unfollow, to unsubscribe, to not allow your child to go to that library storybook time. Those are things that you do have a right to, just like they have a right to be at the library for story time because they're a fellow taxpayer and it's public property because it's funded by the government. We can become, though, intolerant to them coming to our house and teaching us about that stuff. We can become intolerant to allowing our children to go to those events. But we can also become intolerant to our own baloney. If you know that you use the excuse, I'm guilty of this, so this is why I'm using this example. Oh, I'm so busy, I'm worn out, I don't really want to cook anything. Let me just grab some pizza rolls. Let me just grab some corn dogs. Or let me just run to the store quick and just buy a bag of chips and dip. it's just easier. I just can't handle it right now. I need to focus on other things. I need to slap myself in the face. Actually, no, I'm not going to do that. But metaphorically, I need to shake myself and be like, cut the baloney. You have time. You're just not prioritizing it. If you actually value your health like you say you do, get your butt off the chair, away from the desk for a few minutes, and go make yourself something. Go eat a stinking avocado. Like, whatever. Like, do the thing. We're not used to it, you guys, but it is something that we can work toward. I wanted to go on an app for somewhere that sells food last night. I came across this deal for, like, buy a pizza, get, like, a family pack of wings for $5 or $5 off or something. I don't remember what it was. But I'm like, you know what? That sounds really good because my son doesn't eat pizza because he hates cheese. I know, weirdo, right? And my mom and partner, when I'm around them, like, when they're working, they eat pizza a lot because they're out in the field. It's easier just to stop at a, you know, whatever's closest and just grab some food for lunch. So they eat pizza a lot. I love pizza. I don't get to eat pizza very much because the people around me either hate pizza or eat it too much without me that they don't want to eat it with me. Now I have the choice. I can get pizza for myself or I can realize, you know what? Maybe this is God's way of saying, Amber, you don't need the stinking pizza. Or if you want the pizza, make it a healthy version. At least make your own crust. It's not that hard. Takes a little bit of time. Cook up your own, you know, hamburger and sausage to put on it. Probably the hardest thing is on my pizza, I love pepperoni. And finding a clean pepperoni brand that's affordable is kind of difficult. Not impossible. In this somewhat food desert area, it's really hard to find. So I just don't do a lot of pizza. Or if I do, I make it a flatbread pizza, usually a veggie pizza on naan. I love naan bread. Naan is N-A-N. It's like Indian bread. Naan is freaking amazing. I need to learn how to make it for myself. Either that or buy stock in the brand that I buy. But those are things that I can do to cut the BS in my own life, to become intolerant to my own baloney. It must be windy. Anyway, squirrel, right? Another thing that I've started doing, I love using essential oils, whether it's for mental, emotional, spiritual stuff, or for physical needs. I've started keeping my packs of oils, like, right on my desk, right next to my bed, right next to my diffuser, a lot more now, so I can just grab it. I don't have to go look at my big case, look through alphabetically in the blends, look through alphabetically in the singles for what I want. I just have my packs next to me that have a plethora of options for the different things I use them for. And you know what? I felt a lot more grounded, a lot more productive since I've been doing that. Because aromatherapy, a lot of science actually does prove that some aromatherapy absolutely impacts focus, calmness, energy. For instance, before today's call, especially knowing that I didn't have show notes prepped like I wanted to, I used this blend that I really like called Valor to just kind of give me courage to just speak truth. And then it's just going to flow. That spirit is going to flow through me and say what needs to be said. I also use this blend called Abundance to give me an abundance of, or to support me in having an abundance of energy, an abundance of focus, whatever it is that I set my intention to when I used it. And my prayers too, when I used it. And I'm also still struggling with that that residual cough that I'm dealing with. So I slathered on some peppermint around my neck and my throat. And it helped. Like, I should have probably reapplied it during one of the breaks, and I forgot. But I had them next to me, so I was able to use them. If you know you need to drink more water in the day, get yourself a Yeti mug in a style that you like. I have one that's one of my favorite shades of blue. Yeah, I wish it had a handle, but they didn't have it in this size, in this color, with the handle. And this one, I have two lids for. I have a locking magnetic lid, and I have one that has a straw. Super handy when I'm in the car. But knowing I need to drink more water in the day, I keep this thing full. And yeah, I prefer ice water over room temperature water. I drink more that way. And if it's how I get water better, I'm going to do it. I know ice water is not actually as healthy for our bodies as we were taught. At least I was taught. But if you need more water in your day, get the Yeti with the straw if you need it. Fill it up with your water and your ice if you want the ice. And keep it next to you all day. Whatever, maybe not in the bathroom, but like every room of the house, every room at work, have it with you if you're allowed to take it with you. I realize that work's a little bit more difficult because there's certain places you just can't bring it, right? But at your desk, in a meeting, like, take your water with you. You're not going to drink it if you don't have it with. Like, you still might not drink it even if you do have it with, but at least the odds are better. So what are you going to take a chance on? Is it a habit? Is it working toward a goal? And how are you going to open yourself up to this change that you're seeking? Maybe your focus is not going to be the same as my focus. As a reminder, my focus was humility, boundaries, responsible, integrity, and doing it joyfully. Maybe your chance is being less tolerant of baloney. Maybe. Who knows? Or maybe your chance is just being more courageous, speaking out in truth with a capital T, speaking out in faith. Maybe it's stepping up and running for some kind of local government position, you know, school board. I know spring elections are over, but, you know, there's fall stuff coming up, especially this year. But I challenge you to pick one thing today that you're going to take a chance on. Since it is Take a Chance Day. And do something that brings you closer to taking that chance or fulfilling that goal or cutting that habit or starting that habit. If you're interested in this book study with Sovereign Duty, you can get the book on Amazon. You can also get it at chrisannhall.com on her website's official library or official store page. I highly recommend it. I don't think I read through to you guys last week. No, I know I didn't last week. Maybe I did a couple weeks ago, but here are the sections or the chapters of the Sovereign Duty book. So we covered the foreword and the Liberty's Whisper in the introduction. There's Over the Cliff. There's State Sovereignty. There's a contractual agreement, acting like sovereign states. A new sheriff in town, Article 5 convention, tyrannized, enough already, to keep and bear arms, the right to resist, purpose, and hope. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So we just finished week one. There's 11 weeks left. Plenty of time to catch up because the foreword and the poem and the introduction were not that long. I think I read it in maybe 15 minutes. And I think that was even with, you know, highlighting stuff. Maybe 20 minutes with highlighting. I don't know. But anyways, join me for that. Be sure to do something today to take a chance. You're worth it, and posterity is worth it. This has been Living with Freedom. be sure to tune in every Tuesday from 2 to 3:30 Central, noon to 1:30 Pacific, and we'll see you guys next week. Oh, and I just had it freeze. Okay, bye, guys.